The Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, looking at verses 16 through 20. Amen. We want to give attention to the last words recorded by Matthew regarding Jesus just before He departed earth and returned to His place in heaven. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. If you would, stand to your feet and hold your place in your Bible or on your device, whichever may be the tool that you are using. And let's read together from the screen the words recorded in verses 16 through 20. Let's read. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to us today from the thought of being authorized agents of the kingdom of God. Authorized agents of the kingdom of God. To help make sure that we are in sync and together, I want to help you understand what my understanding or thinking about an authorized agent is. So an authorized agent is someone who has the power to act on behalf of another person. Amen? That's the authorized agent, an individual who has the power, the authority, if you will, to act on behalf of another person. They have the approval to make decisions and carry out the will of the one upon whom they are acting on behalf of. They're not free to do what they want to do. They have to function in a way, in a manner consistent with what it is that the person for whom they are working for has desired or is desiring, then to carry out that work. That authorized agent sometimes requires training to do it effectively. But the biggest thing and most important thing is relationship, communication. In order for you to understand as an authorized agent what you are authorized or required to do, you have to spend time with the person that you are carrying out business on behalf of. Amen? And brothers and sisters, on this scripture that we have just read, it was Jesus authorizing those who would follow after him, those who would trust him and believe in him, those who would know him, know his identity, know his purposes, know his work. He was authorizing them then to go and to bring into his kingdom others who would do the same things that they were doing. So it was not just to the 11, but it would be to all who would believe upon the name of Jesus Christ, that he has authorized us as agents of the kingdom of God to be able to carry out the will of God on behalf of Jesus Christ, who has been seated at the right hand of the Father and who is holding his place until he returns again. He says, I had to go back, but I left you in charge. Amen. We are in charge. That's sobering, because if your world is in a mess, just remember, you're the one in charge. Amen. And if you want your world to be fixed, you are connected to the one who has the power. He's the fixer to take care of your problems. You are connected to the one that when you begin to operate consistently with what it is that he desires, he will bring, what is it? Order out of chaos. Amen. But I will be so bold as to say it again. If your world is in a mess, please don't blame him. Because what he said is, I'm leaving you in charge as an authorized agent to bring the power of heaven to bear in your circumstance, in your situation, and in your environment. And if you refuse to apply the authority or use the authority that I have given you, then you can be assured of this, that the enemy of your soul will come and carry out his will. And that is what? To steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? And so, brothers and sisters, as you and I look at this text and focus on some other important scriptures, you and I are reminded that we have the great privilege, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, to be authorized agents of the kingdom of God. And as an authorized agent, we can speak, we can declare, we can decree, we can plead the blood of Jesus and have the power of the Most High God at work in circumstances that will align our lives with God's plan and God's purpose. Amen? So, let's go to work. Let's go to work. Because this wasn't the first time that Jesus had authorized his disciples. Amen. In Matthew chapter 10, you have your Bibles. I want you to turn there. It's in Matthew chapter 10. There are some words that Jesus gives as he is calling his disciples, those who have committed to follow him. As he is calling them together, he's given them authority. And remember, they became disciples because Jesus said, come follow me. Jesus initiated a call and he said, come follow me. When Jesus initiated the call, they responded, many of them leaving everything that they were doing to follow after Jesus. Remember Peter and his brother Andrew? They were what? They were fishermen. Also James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee, they were fishermen. They owned their own business, or they were in business with their dad. And when Jesus said, come follow me, they left the fishing industry, they left the fishing business to go and follow Jesus. And Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you fishers of men, of people. I'm going to help you now catch men, catch people, so that now they can be in right relationship with me just as you are. Matthew was a tax collector. Jesus said, follow me. Matthew left the books behind so that he could follow Jesus. In order for you to be a follower of Jesus Christ, can I just tell you and be honest with you? There are some things you got to leave behind. Amen? There are some things that you've got to drop and let go of because they will prevent you from carrying out the will of God. And there are some of us that have greater calls on our lives than others, whereby he is telling us to leave that behind so that you can do what he is calling you to do somewhere else. And then there are others of us, he is calling you right where you are to say, leave the foolishness behind, but right where you are, start being a light so that those around you can see what it looks like when a person has been redeemed from darkness and I've entered into their experience, and how I can change them from a nobody to somebody. How I can change them from a person who talks like a fool to a wise man. And so you stay right where you are. You ain't got to quit your job. I need you to keep working. Amen. And use your resources for the kingdom. Amen. Amen. So that you, as an authorized agent, will carry out the assignment that God has for you. And so some of these folks, they left. But here's the thing. They responded to the call of Jesus Christ and followed him. So you can't be an authorized agent of the kingdom of God if you have not responded to the call of Christ. Amen. Amen. You cannot be an authorized agent of the kingdom of God without first responding to the call of Christ. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, he says, and I will give you rest. He calls. Then he says, respond. And it is a response, not one that just happens in your mind. It is a response that requires that you move your whole being, your whole body, your whole life in response to him. That there must be action committed to your response. I will follow Jesus. I will begin to make what's important to Jesus important to me. I will allow him to change my values, my perspective, and my outlook. I will allow him to renew the way I think, because I am now following him, not just in word, but also in deed and in action. And if you are not willing to follow God, Jesus Christ, in deed and in action, you will not have the power that he desires to give to you as an authorized agent. Amen. It cost. Your life must line up with God's plan, God's will, God's purposes, so that he can trust you with the power that he wants to give you. Amen. So these disciples had committed themselves to follow Jesus. It was demonstrated because they left where they were and committed to going with him wherever he was going, so that they then could be a part of his work. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus calls those who had been following him, and he singles out 12 of them. Look at this in verse number 1. He says, he called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then you see, in beginning with verse 2, he kind of lists the names of those who were included in that call. But I want you to see what he authorized them to do again in verse 1, where he says he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness. Now, this is important, because what Jesus did was he gave them the authority to do what he had been doing. Amen. What had Jesus been doing? He had going around driving out demons, healing sick folks. He was going around making sure that the power of the devil was broken over people's lives. And he said, now that you have seen me in operation, I'm going to authorize you to go do the same thing that I've been doing. Brothers and sisters, as authorized agents of the kingdom of God, you and I have been authorized to do the same work that Jesus was doing. Amen. He says, greater works will you do because I am going back to the Father. And because the Spirit of the living God was coming now to dwell in you and me. And so that is the same Spirit that was upon Jesus, the same Spirit that was in Jesus was now coming to live in you and in me. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus was now coming to anoint you and me. He was coming to fall upon us afresh and new and to empower us to be able to do what Jesus does. But if you don't believe you can do what Jesus did, you won't try. Amen? Because remember, your belief drives your action. It drives your behavior. If you don't believe that you can lay your hand on sick folks, when they sick, you'll be like, oh, that's so bad. I hate to hear that. But when you know that you are an authorized agent of the kingdom of God and you learn out that they sick, you find out that they sick, you say, hold up, wait a minute. And you start reaching. Did I bring my oil? Uh-oh, I ain't got no oil. You got some lotion? You got something I can use? Because it ain't the oil that's going to heal you. What's going to heal you is going to be the words that come out of my mouth when I speak Jesus over your life. And it's going to be the authority that comes when I speak Jesus. I just want a symbol, something to represent that, hey, as I'm praying over you, is by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. So if I can't find my oil, I'm just looking for something to get you wet. So that you have a symbol knowing that you've been hit. Amen. Because when I believe that I am an authorized agent, an authorized dealer of the things of the kingdom of God, I begin to operate because I want to see men and women experience healing, wholeness, and growth in their lives. And I get angry when I see the devil, when he has folks in his vice grip and won't let them go. And because he has given you and me the authority to do something about it, we've got to act. We've got to respond and do something. Amen? And so we've got to believe that as authorized agents of the kingdom of God, he is authorizing us to do the things that he did. Disciples had gone out doing what Jesus had told them to do. And when they had gone, they came back excited because what he had told them to do had come to pass. And they came back telling him, we saw all kinds of things happening. We saw evil spirits going out of people. We saw sick folks being healed. Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. But then he told him, don't be tripping because I authorize you to do what I do. Do you see me tripping like that when I pray for somebody and they are healed? You say, I don't trip. He like, when I prayed that prayer, I expected that man with that shriveled up hand to be made whole. When I told those two blind men, when I laid my hands on their eyes and they were able to see, I didn't trip because I was expecting them to be able to see. In fact, I told them, listen, don't you go telling anybody about what just happened. But they couldn't hold it in because when something that good happens to you, you got to tell somebody.
And so he said, don't be tripping over the fact that you've got authority. What you need to be tripping over is the fact that your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what you need to get excited about. And because your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have access to heaven's bank account. Woo! You got access. Your name is on the account. Woo! Hallelujah. Your name is on the account. You can make a withdrawal. You won't get chased down and accused for stealing. Amen. As an authorized agent, you can go up to the counter, fill out your slip, get what you need. Oh, my goodness. So, he has authorized us to function, to carry out his mission. In other words, to do the same things that he has been doing in the world, in the sphere of influence that he has given us, which starts where? First with you. Amen. It starts first with you. Why? Because he has saved you. He has cleaned you. And then he has said, now, what you've got to do is that as you allow me to reframe the way you think, I'm going to change you so that you can now begin to operate and influence, be in control and lead yourself well first. Amen. You are familiar with the scripture that says, don't be trying to remove the speck from your brother or your sister's eye when you have a plank in your eye. You're familiar with that scripture, right? What that scripture is trying to remind us of is that we've got some stuff that we've got to deal with first, so that we can then see correctly, respond correctly to what is going on in a brother or sister's life. He's saying, deal with you first, or let him deal with you first, so that you will then be equipped to go deal with others, right? And so he's saying, lead yourself well. Lead yourself well. By being obedient to the Spirit of God, by walking in obedience to the Word of God for yourself. In other words, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be trying to tell somebody else what to do and you're not doing it. Amen? Amen. And so he's saying for you and me, we need to make sure that we get aligned so that we can then lead others, share with others, and as authorized agents, have a testimony that is not hypocritical, but one that is actually filled with integrity. That we're not saying one thing with our mouths and doing something else. Because here's the truth. The power of God operates in truth. That God can only be powerful in your life when you are honest with God. When you are truthful before God. When you are not trying to deceive God nor others. Then God can be truthful in your life. When you're not trying to pretend. When you're not being fake. When you're being authentic. God says, now I can not only change you, but I can use you. Because he only operates in truth. And what I have learned is this. There is nothing that I can actually hide from God. And so I've learned how, and I'm learning how to just be vulnerable before God and to allow him to examine my heart and my mind so that he can fix what's wrong. I've learned how not to try to hide from God by saying one thing with my mouth, but having something else going on in my heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be aligned and acceptable before your sight, because God operates in truth. He is not a duplicitous God whereby I can say one thing with my mouth, be believing something in my heart or thinking it in my mind, and something else happened. No. It all has to line up, because his power is manifest in truth. God is the God who does not lie. He operates in truth.
You and I have to learn how to traffic in truth, even when it hurts. Amen. Even when the truth about me hurts, I still got to confess that truth before God, because then he can take it and he can fix it and he can do something with the situation. So you and I, as authorized agents of the kingdom of God, must learn to lead ourselves well first so that we can then lead others. We see that model in Jesus Christ, don't we? Jesus led himself very well, so well that we remember these words, that Jesus is the only man who never, ever sinned. Why? Because he led himself well. Because his commitment to God was real, he wasn't fake, and because he understood who he was and what his mission was. And so as he led himself well, he was able to lead others well. And you and I, as we talk about being authorized agents to do the things that Jesus did, that means that he then was our model. He is our model. He is the one we look to see how to carry out the assignment. And then as you and I look to him, we teach others how to look to him. As they first look at us, and then they move from looking at us to being able to look at him. Amen? Isn't that what happened when we were raising up these beautiful little babies? We are teaching these babies, first, follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Why? Because you're making disciples in your own house. Amen. And so you need to be following Christ because that little one is following you. And the goal, the idea is you want them to be raised up in such a way that they can model what you've been doing, implement what you've been doing until they are big enough to make their own decisions. And when they are big enough to make their own decisions, they won't go astray from what they've seen in you, because they recognize that your experience has been real, it has been authentic, and it has been filled with power, that you have not wandered back and forth, you have not gone to and fro, that you have not lived a duplicitous life, saying one thing on this occasion and doing something else on another, but yet you've been authentic before God. And they transfer and they move into an experience with God that is personal for them. Amen. So he says we are authorized agents of the kingdom. We can either choose to accept the assignment or we can fight against the assignment. We have the message, we're the messengers, and we also have the means. He said the message is this, that you and I are to go forth and tell men and women that salvation is found in no one else but Jesus Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. In order for me to convey that message well, I've got to believe that message. That I can't believe that I have salvation somewhere else other than in the person of Jesus Christ. I must believe that Jesus is the source of my salvation. He is the source of my provision. I must believe that in order to convey it then to others. That's the message, that Jesus is able to save completely those who come to him or come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede on our behalf. Jesus doesn't just save a little bit. He saves completely. And I've got to believe that Jesus saves completely. If I'm going to convey the message to others, I've got to believe that message for myself in order to convey it well. Because if you know what, if you're not a believing, shown up, convinced, authorized agent, you're not going to sell that product very well. If you don't believe in what you're trying to sell, you're not going to be able to convince anybody else that it's worth buying. Amen? You've got to believe it for yourself. That means you need a story to tell. Amen. Wait a minute. Let me go on and clear this up. You got a story to tell. You may not realize it. You have a story already. You were once lost in sin. Amen. You were dead in your transgressions. You were a walking dead person. But Jesus came along and he saved you. That's your story. Now, the details of your story, the details of my story will look different, but I've got to learn how to tell my story just as you've got to learn how to tell your story so that we can be convincing about the message of the redemption of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got to be bold enough, vulnerable enough to tell our stories. Last week, we talked about the man who had been demon possessed. Remember that? He had been possessed by a legion of demons, so much so that when they came out, those demons, those evil spirits ran a herd of 2,000 pigs off of a cliff into a lake that they drowned and died. When that man who had been set free from those evil spirits, when he was redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, even before Jesus died on the cross, he was redeemed. When he was set free, that man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, no, I need you to go tell your story. He was then an authorized agent of the kingdom to tell about what God had done for him, because he said, tell him how God had mercy on you and all that he has done for you. That's your story. Tell about how God has had mercy on you. Unless you believe that you were a pretty good person. Amen. Now, if you believe that, if you believe that you deserve to have a place in the kingdom of God based upon your righteousness, you don't have a story to tell. But if you realize that even your best acts, your best works are like sin, dirty rags before a righteous God, then you got a story to tell. You got a story to tell about how God found you at your place, wherever it was in life, and he ushered you out of darkness into his marvelous light so that you can be in a personal relationship with him. Learn how to tell your story. Learn how to tell it well. Then go and rescue others from where they are. If you and I are willing to tell our stories, God says that he will be with us. He will help us. He will anoint our tongues to communicate his truth so that what he has done in your life will become evident to others, and they will believe that the same power that was available to you can be and is available to others. But you and I must walk in obedience and tell our story. That man who had been possessed by those evil spirits was willing to go and do what Jesus told him to do. Because we read later that when Jesus came back to that area of the Decapolis, that there were people waiting for Jesus to show up. Because they had said, when that man Jesus comes back in this area again, I'm going to go find that guy because I need help with my situation. Folks who had been spending money trying to get well, but the doctors were not able to take care of their situation, showed up to meet with Jesus so that they could experience the same healing power that that man with those evil spirits had experienced. Brothers and sisters, you and I have got to be able to tell a convincing story to other folks that help them know that, yes, I was once lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. And can I tell you that you can't tell a convincing story about Jesus when you're too busy promoting yourself? When you're too busy talking about how good you are, or how much you know, or how much you've done. When you're too busy reading your resume and going through all of your accomplishments, you don't have time to point others to Jesus. When you are tuned into his spirit, listening to his voice, he will let you know what part of your story to share
so that the one that he has allowed to cross your path will know for themselves that there is a God who lives and who cares about them. You and I have been called and authorized to move into our spheres of influences, in our homes, in our families, among those that we know and sometimes strangers. He has called us to be able to rescue men and women from the grips of this world and help set them free from the things that have them in bondage. But you and I have to do it soberly, realizing that we are not of another kingdom and not of this world. There's an Old Testament prophet who was an authorized agent of the kingdom, whom Jesus called, God called and gave him an assignment to go and preach to a people and tell them that their time was near. You're very familiar with the story. It is of the prophet Jonah. And you remember Jonah's response to God's call in his life. God came to Jonah and said to Jonah, I want you to go as my authorized agent of the kingdom of God. And I want you to tell the Ninevites, the people of Nineveh, that their time is drawing near to an end. I want you to take this message to them, Jonah, because I have a word for them. Jonah, as an authorized agent of the kingdom, said to God, I ain't gonna do it. Remember Jonah? He said, nope, I'm not gonna do it. And so instead of Jonah going where God had instructed him, the Bible says that Jonah went in the opposite direction of where God told him to go, running away to do something because he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Jonah tells us why he did what he did. Jonah tells us that the reason he did what he did was because he did not like the Ninevites. That's why he did it. He didn't like the people from Nineveh because they had been mean to the people of Israel. He didn't like the people of Nineveh because they had brought pain on the people of Israel. And Jonah felt like God should have been dealing with them with judgment instead of mercy. And because he didn't like them, and because he was trying to tell God how to do what God's supposed to do, he had a problem. He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, because if I go and do what you tell me to do, your word never ever returns to you empty or void. And it always accomplishes your will. And if those people listen to me and turn away from their wicked ways, you gonna have compassion and mercy upon them. And instead of you beating them down like I want you to, you gonna save them. I ain't going. No. And so Jonah went and caught a ride on a boat, on a ship, like he can actually hide from God, like he can run from God. And what happens is when Jonah gets on the ship, he gets everybody else in trouble. Because God has said, Jonah, you're my authorized agent. You're going to carry out this assignment, and I'm willing to wait on you. And so he brought a terrible storm upon the ship, upon the sea, and the ship that Jonah was riding in. Everybody was troubled because they thought that they were going to die. Until finally, Jonah convinces them, if you want this storm to die down, just throw me overboard. And they finally did, because that's just how bad it was. Jonah, God provides, as you know, a big fish to give Jonah a ride to the place where he's supposed to be. And while Jonah is in the big fish, Jonah begins to pray. That little book is only four chapters. I want to encourage you to go read those four chapters, because it talks about in it God's love, God's mercy, God's agent who will, when he is obedient to God, will get the results that God wants him to have. He tells about this big fish that while Jonah is sitting in there, he begins to pray and thank God that while he was in the water, he didn't drown.
to thank God that God had mercy upon him and has given him now another chance. And then it says, and God spoke to Jonah again and told him the same thing he had said before. Take this message to the people of Nineveh. By this time, Jonah now is willing to cooperate with God. I tell you all that story just to say this, as an authorized agent of God, he is calling us to walk in obedience. And sometimes when you and I are resistant to walk in obedience, he will allow storms to come into your life. Amen. Those storms that are allowed to come into your life are not intended to destroy you, but if you are so stubborn, if you are so bent on doing things your own way, destruction will come. But if you will recognize that God is extending to you his mercy and his grace, and you simply repent and say, Father, I'm sorry that I have not carried out your will, he'll give you another chance, because God is merciful. God is compassionate. And it is God's desire that no man shall be lost. But he has said, I need people like you who are obedient to carry out my will so that others can hear the message of the truth. So sometimes he will allow trouble to show up in our lives just to get our attention. Brothers and sisters, if trouble has been knocking on your door, please don't ignore it. If trouble has been knocking on your door, sometimes it is because you and I are walking in disobedience. Amen. And God is being merciful, trying to get our attention, saying, will you stop doing what you're doing, because that does not fit with my plan. That's not who you are. And if you and I will repent, turn, and move in the right direction, you and I then give God the permission to operate in our lives and in the lives of others to bring his will into being. God says something amazing to Jonah in chapter 2, verse number 8. Because God is trying to get Jonah to go and carry forth the message of the kingdom to the people of Nineveh, he's demonstrating his love, his compassion, and he's helping Jonah understand what it means to be an agent of the kingdom. And he tells Jonah that those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. See, the people of Nineveh were busy worshiping idols. They were busy worshiping gods that were not true gods. They were busy giving their time to things that did not deserve their allegiance. They were busy trusting in things that could not bring deliverance nor salvation. So much so that all of their habits, their time, and their energy was spent on those things that were idols instead of giving attention to the one who created them in the first place. And God was saying to Jonah, unless you go and preach the message of truth to them, they'll continue to hang on to idols that are of no value. God is saying to you and me, unless you proclaim my truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that men and women around you will cling to worthless idols. They will think that there is life in some other means outside of Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, I need you to carry forth the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. That Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus forgives. I need you to let them know that if they will turn to me, I can rescue them and save them. Because those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. He said that if you will let go of your idol and turn to me, what you will discover is that I have grace that is sufficient for every one of your issues, every one of your needs. My grace is sufficient. And so I ask you, is there an idol in your life that you're holding on to and you won't let go? If you're holding on to that idol and you won't let go, you are forfeiting the grace of God in your life. Have you placed someone above the place where Jesus Christ should have in your life? For Jesus said, anyone who does not love me more than they love their mama or their daddy, who does not love me more than they love their sister or their brother, who does not love me more than they love their children, who does not love me more than they love their spouse, you are not even worthy of me because you have elevated them to a higher place than they deserve. Is there anyone in your life that you have elevated to a place that's too high? They are allowing you to lead you away from the God who loves you. Is there anything, any activity that you've allowed to creep into your life that has stolen the time that belongs to God? If there is something that you have put in the place of where Christ belongs, you have made that thing an idol. And as long as you are clinging to that worthless idol, you will not experience the grace of God. Because he says, as long as you're holding that, you can't receive what I want to give you. Amen? And so, brothers and sisters, you and I have been called to be agents of the kingdom of God. Authorized, we are authorized to do the things that Jesus did. We are approved, authorized agents to do the things that Jesus did, empowered by his Spirit to do the things that Jesus did. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, only operates what? In truth. That's why he cleans us up first, so that we are now usable and useful for his kingdom. If you went to a restaurant to eat and they brought you out a dirty plate, would you eat from it? I wouldn't. I have a bad habit of unfolding, you know, the silverware, how they have it all wrapped up in the napkin. I have a bad habit of unfolding it and checking it out, because I don't want to eat from dirty, nasty silverware. I don't want to drink my coffee from a nasty cup. I don't want to see stuff floating around in my water. Amen? In the same way as a vessel of the Spirit of the living God, he doesn't want us dirty trying to carry out his business. Amen? He doesn't want to see stuff floating around in your life that ain't got no business being there while you're trying to administer the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, you need to go through the dishwasher. Amen? You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you need to allow the Spirit, who is like streams of living water, to flow in you to flush out all the dirt and all the impurities that don't belong, so that you can be a fit, usable, authorized agent for the kingdom of God. The only way, brothers and sisters, that can happen is when you and I, in honesty, lay down before God those things that are not of him. When we let them go and say that, no, nothing will master me. But God, this thing has had me way too long. I give it to you. I haven't had the strength to overcome it, but God, I know that you said that you in Christ, you will strengthen me to do all things. If I will let you, God, you will help me overcome this, so that now I'm looking like my Savior, Jesus Christ, dressed in a robe of righteousness, that my tongue will speak like your servant Jesus Christ, that I will speak with grace and with truth, that I would love like Jesus, that I would love in such a way that no one owes me after I have loved them well, that I'm not trying to love you because I'm trying to get something from you. I'm loving you because Christ has so filled me and wants me to show and express his love and use me. It is only when you and I come before him and say to him, here I am yours. If you will wash me and if you will cleanse me, I will leave this place as your agent, as your servant, ready to do your will at your bidding. I will let you use my tongue to speak healing, wholeness, and life into other individuals. I will let you use my hand to be a hand of healing upon somebody's life. I will let you use, God, my tongue, my ears, my eyes. All of me will be devoted to you, God, because I understand that I belong to your kingdom. And I have come to live for you and you alone. As authorized agents of the kingdom, then you and I can go forth and tell others that Jesus heals, that he saves, that he rescues, that he redeems, that he delivers, and that as victorious conquerors, there will be no thing that can stop us from rescuing other men and women from the clutches of the devil, and we can see them set free and experience life abundantly. Amen. And the people of God said, praise God. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. Let's just pause and just pray together for just a moment. Father, we declare that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that you prepared in advance for us to do. We're thankful that you have saved us and redeemed us by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That God, you have forgiven us of our sins because we have trusted in him. And we ask today, God, that you will stir in us something fresh and new as we move forth, God, in doing your will and doing your bidding. Help us, Father, to form a new set of priorities, that we would not pursue the things of this world, but that we will pursue the things of your kingdom. We will not be dominated by our places of employment, by our businesses, or by those other means by which we earn, Lord, our income or make our living. But we will understand, God, that these are nothing but mere resources that you made available so that we can do our real mission, our real jobs. So help us, God, to move you, Lord, to the right place in our lives, in our thinking, and into our daily agendas. Help us to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness. Help us to chase hard after you and to know that as we pursue you, everything else that we need will be provided. Help us, God, to lay aside anything that is not in agreement with your will nor your word, that we can be, Father, good witnesses for your kingdom, that our credibility won't be questioned. Purify us and make us holy so that, God, you are free to work through us as heaven and the power of heaven is manifest in every experience
that you've commanded us to enter into. We appeal to you today. We ask that, God, you will use us for the growing of your kingdom. Use us to draw men and women to Christ and set them free from the tyranny of this world. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen.